See, now they have to get me a stool. It's been a long while for that. If the Lord allows things to continue and Pastor Kenny allows me, pretty soon they'll have to carry me. And you'll see more people on the list needing back surgery. That's how that'll work. Okay. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. We're starting I don't know how long the series will be, however long it takes to get through the passage I'm going to look at. And the title of the beginning of this series is All Your Things, A More Excellent Way. All Your Things, A More Excellent Way. And you'll understand the title as we get into the message. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 13 and 14 says, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. When it says, quit ye like men, that is an old English word, and it means what? Act like a man. Okay? It's telling you to be strong. And it says, and let all your things be done with what? Come on. All your things be done with what? Charity. What does all mean? All of it. How many of us live up to it? Don't raise your hand if you're going to be honest and say you don't. If I was asked if you do raise your hand and some of you raised your hands, you're already lying. All right? But it says, let all your things be done with charity. And we're starting a series on charity. I was going to start this a little over a month ago. But, you know, we've had so many people in. Certain things happening with me. Anything not able to preach on a Wednesday. We've other had people here. And so, you know, different things going on with it. So it's got held up. But I know God's never wrong in his timing. Amen? So charity, if you want to look at the definitions of it, because charity is it's a New Testament word. Okay, if you look at the background of it, the Greek dictionary New Testament, and I'm not a Greekifying person. I don't know any Greeks other than somebody who owns a Greek deli. That's how that works with that. I didn't take it. Okay, but in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it says love, i.e. affection, benevolence. So then you turn around and that's another Old English word not used a lot today, and that's the word benevolence. You'll find it in your Bible in a couple of places. And that word means a disposition to do good, to have goodwill, kindness, love of mankind, accompanied with a desire to promote their happiness. That's the background from your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Webster's 1828 dictionary. First definition, in general sense, love, benevolence. Now you know why I had to define benevolence, because Noah Webster was a believer, so many of his definitions have scripture verses assigned to them. Love, benevolence, goodwill, the disposition of heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men. That's not just men. That means you to have the disposition to think favorably of other people. Okay, and to do them good. My mom used to tell me, honey child, you treat every woman like a lady, no matter what. And if she proves she isn't one, run. Okay, disposition to think good of them and to treat them in that way. All right. It's favorably of their fellow men and to do them good. In a theological sense, it includes this, the supreme love to God and the universal goodwill to men. And then he gave three scripture passages. There'll be some of what we'll look at as we go forward, but maybe not tonight. And I'm going to give you Legault's dictionary definition, okay? He won't have to edit this one, I promise, Joe. Okay? It's the love of God flowing through the believer to others. Amen? And hopefully you agree with that definition by the time we get done examining charity. Now, again, charity is a New Testament word. It's not found in the Old Testament because you can't really truly know the love of God until the God of love gave himself for us. Okay? Until Jesus went to the cross. Okay? It's not just a substitute for the word love. They pulled charity out of many of the new translations and they put love in there. Okay? And they can say, I can remember listening to, you know, when you want to seem smart and you're a preacher, you open up your exhaustive concordance and you look up the Greek word and then you expound on the Greek word. There are very, 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 very few men who know the Greek well enough to teach it and to preach from it. And some who do know that's not the answer anyways. All right? Charity is an English word. Okay? And you know, so what they do is they turn around and listen to this preacher and he goes, now you need to know that charity comes from the essence of the Greek word agape. And agape means the love of God. Charity's more than that. Okay? And if you don't believe me, you want to argue with me. Okay? If you get caught up with thinking about agape, all right? I'll have you take a test. Okay? Dr. Sam Gipp has it's called the love test. Every time the word appears in your Bible, not charity, but love. Every time the word agape appears. And when he gave this test to our church, I got the highest grade. Yeah. I only failed by 40 points. No. Actually, I got a 55 out of 100 on his test. No one else got even close to that. When you can make comparisons of where the word was used. Okay. So don't get caught up in that. You have the inerrant, preserved word of God in the English. Okay? And so it says charity. Okay? It means so much more than just love. So much more than just love. And in studying your Bibles, if you're a young Christian, one of the first things you can do to learn what your Bible is saying, it's called the law of first mention. I've used it before. I think Pastor Kinney's referred to it, other preachers. The law of first mention is the first time you find the word found in your Bible will help you see the definition of it in your King James Bible because there's a greater consistency of translation in this book than any other English Bible. The first time you find it, if you'll turn there, is 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and chapter 8 starts off, and I think it's interesting that the word is first found in the first epistle of the church at Corinth that had a messed up attitude about love, all right? They were very good at eros, okay, another big Greek word, which is lusting and the wrong things there. But charity, the first time you find it used in your Bible, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge does what? But charity does what? Edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same as known of him. See, I look at that, you know, knowledge puffs up. Charity builds up. Okay? Definition to edify, to build, to instruct, to improve the mind in knowledge, generally and in particularly in moral and religious knowledge, to improve the mind in faith and holiness. Puffed up. When we think we know something, you know, it's always fun with new believers when they first start getting a handle on their Bible. They think when they learn it, it's the first time anybody else has ever seen it. That's just the way. Do you realize, Pastor Kenny? Yeah. Do you realize that that says that preacher? Have you ever seen that before? Knowledge puffeth up. You know, it's like, when I was a little kid, you know, and you had something going on, we'd go, I know something you don't know. Right? That makes me special. And then my sisters would say, yes, Mom always had a place in her heart for special needs children. That's what she'd do. That may have to be edited, I don't know. Knowledge puffs up. When you think you know something, you think it makes you special, you know, you can't help it. You know, it's normal. Moms, understand this. It is normal for males to want to compete. Okay? That's normal. And it's always fun when their sister can beat them at what they're doing. But again, it's to improve the mind and knowledge generally, and particularly moral and religious knowledge in faith and holiness. Okay, you know, you can help someone to improve, or you can try to show them how they don't measure up to you. Right? So, you know, it comes down to, when you're trying to show somebody how smart you are, it's like, look at me. Look at me. You know what's supposed to be in the Christian life? Look at him. Look at him. Knowledge puffs you up. The love of God flowing through you to someone else builds up. It builds up. You know, you can help somebody to gain not just knowledge, okay? When you edify, they don't get just knowledge, but they get an understanding in how to personally apply it. I'm telling you right now, you can know a scripture verse, but my pastor, the only pastor I ever had, Pastor Oren Christian, used to say the greatest distance in the world is from your head to your heart. And if it doesn't get to your heart, it does you no good. Amen? You with me? You with me in that? So, charity builds somebody up. You know what you're doing? You're willing to take them from where they are with all their warts and their scars and their hurt and their sin. And when they come to Jesus, you try to build them up so that they may reach others, that they might come to Jesus and build them up. You help someone to gain understanding and how to personally apply it. I'll give you an example. And if for sake of time, I don't know if we'll get back to it tonight, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is the good to the use of building up, edifying. You see that? That it may minister what? Unmerited favor, making them feel special, unmerited, they don't deserve it, and that they get to see they're accepted in the Beloved. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm not preaching on forgiveness tonight. All right? You got to understand, forgiveness doesn't help anybody if they're not willing to acknowledge the problem and see the need of forgiveness. But it helps you to be able to forgive. Forgiving one another. Turn to Acts chapter 18. Now, this is not about forgiveness, but it is about edifying. Acts chapter 18, starting at verse 24. And it says, and there was a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria. That's Alexandria what? Egypt. in the Bible it's the type of the world, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, Old Testament. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only what? The baptism of John. The baptism of John was to prepare God's chosen people, Israel, for their coming Messiah. So he's still preaching, trying to turn them to God, looking at the baptism of John, so they could be what? Ready to receive the Messiah when he comes. Because you know what he didn't know? That he'd come. He only knew the baptism of John. Didn't say, maybe I'm misinterpreting, that's not talking about Jesus' baptism by John. Okay? And that's all he knew. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they made an open mockery of him because he didn't have his doctrine right. That's not what it says. It says, Aquila and Priscilla, when they had heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They took him unto him. And when he was disposed to pass through Achaia, and the brethren wrote, exhorting disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was what? What he had been preaching before, who was supposed to come, they took him aside and they built him up that he might preach the truth of that sacrifice for you and me boldly to the Jews, showing by the scriptures that he was Christ. And what they demonstrated, Aquila and Priscilla, charity. There's your example. Okay? That brings us to the next time you find the word charity in your Bible, and we will not finish this tonight, this section, I promise you. I won't keep you till 9:45 like Pastor Kenny did. I mean, 9:15. I'm teasing. Remember, he said, I'm going to finish this up. You got just 1.5 hours more? All right. You have to be here to get the bad jokes. My bad jokes, not his bad jokes. Okay. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody, they say, this is the love chapter. No, this is the charity chapter. And it starts off before that in chapter 12. And you look at verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12, and it says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, there's no more of them, secondarily prophets, no more of them, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show you a what? Second half of the title. A more excellent way. Point number one. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Even though you seem to have knowledge and you think you can tell other people things and you have special gifts, maybe you can talk in the tongues of men, tongues of angels, and you're pretty special. But when you go to talk, want me to talk to you? You say, why do you do that? Because if you don't have charity, we already had a missionary say in one of the letters, if they know you love them, then you can what? Speak to them. Otherwise, now I understand, I love it in good classical music when the cymbals and the percussion comes in and the crescendo goes up the way it's supposed to when it's part of something else. But that verse is not talking about an orchestra. That's talking about when you speak because you do not have charity when you speak to other people, you're noise. You're noise. There was, quite a few years back, and I thought it was the most stupid thing I ever saw, advertised. I didn't see it. It was, I think it was off-Broadway or maybe on Broadway. It was a play, a musical. Of course, it wasn't a musical because it was only percussion, and it was called Stomp. Only old people remember what that is, Mark, you and me. Okay, that was a musical play that was put on by people putting trash can lids on their feet. Stomping trash can lids to rhythm. Isn't America's music amazing? See, if you don't have charity, I don't care what you have to say. You know, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. You have knowledge. You know what you do? You have a form of self-righteousness that can eat you up. If you have charity, you can help them come to God's righteousness through your humble approach to them, through Christ. Verse 2. I want to get at least two, maybe three in. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am what? Nothing. You ever see that? When gift of prophecy, all and understand all mysteries. You know, they can expound on all the baptisms in the scripture. They can tell you what's going on in Revelation. They can list you off all the dispensations that have taken place in the scripture. Man, they know it. They got it. And they understand it. And not only that, they have personal faith in their God that it says that they could move mountains. Their personal faith is strong. But they don't have the love of God flowing through them to another person. And God says they are what? Nothing. Nothing. When it comes to Christianity, it won't be so much about what you know as much as it will be about who you know and that he knows you. Amen? Amen. And though I bestow all my gifts, all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Though I give away everything I have to feed the poor. They did that in Jerusalem in the early church. It didn't work out too well for them. They sold everything, gave it to the support of the church, and then pretty soon they had to have support come in from the Gentile churches to help the believers in Jerusalem. Okay? To give everything to the poor, give my body be burned. Personal, complete sacrifice. I was young enough to be a teenager during the Vietnam War. I believe in the background of that war, when it started, because of persecution over there taking place, a Buddhist monk, I believe, I've got this right, if I'm wrong, I can be corrected, to draw attention to what was taking place by the persecution from the communists, he dumped fuel all over himself and lit himself on fire to draw attention to that. Though I give my body to be burned, the personal sacrifice of that. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know what happens? I want you to understand. You don't gain when the love of God is not there. You don't gain when the love of God is not there. Part of one more verse. Can you handle that? John said no. He said no and then blamed it on somebody else? Oh. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. I'm not going to finish the rest of the verse. Sometimes when you've been put through it by someone else and you've been suffering and it's gone on for a long time, when God's love flows through you, you can be kind. When you say, I can't put up with this any longer, be kind. It takes us back to our first point. We'll read this passage, and then I'm going to say, and all God's people said, go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 29, again, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of building them up, edifying, that it may minister unmerited favor, grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed on the day of redemption. So when it comes out of your mouth wrong and it's not edifying, it grieves who? The Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.